What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Watching Tottenham on a Tuesday night. You play Thursday cause you're... What a feeling, what a night. Oh, what a night.
Hello and welcome to a What a Night, part of the 90 Minute Podcast Network, where we talk about everything Tottenham Hotspur. Joining myself, Sean Walsh, as he always does, is Mr. Jude Summerfield.
Jude. Yo, I always do join you, mate.
Apart from the times you don't join me.
Yeah, sometimes I don't join you, and then I get sad and upset.
Sometimes I don't join a toy.
Hang out with the other more cultured members of our team. But that's fine.
I'm sorry if I have a life outside of you, Jude.
Well, you know, lots of people do, but I still have trouble accepting it, you know?
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, I think you've got some issues to work on.
Like being the centre of the universe, but it's tough.
I know you do.
I know. How are you doing, mate? All good?
Yeah, good. We haven't actually kind of sat around to talk about Spurs in a while, and yeah, a lot's actually happened. Right. So, you know, the season ended, thank God.
Thank God.
It's over.
That was dreary towards the end, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, like the meme of the Leon fans storming the pitch after they win the league. It's like, it's just like that when the season ended for us. It's like, it's over.
Yeah.
Not one other thing, it's just over.
Would have liked one of those contraptions that they have in Men in Black where they just wipe your brains at the end of everything and you know you don't remember anything. I can't remember what they're called.
Can you imagine going back to last summer and being like, this is the way it's going to play out? You'd think, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I wouldn't have foreseen it. I thought they were going to come third.
Well, everyone did. this is the thing, isn't it? Like, I remember we went through our preseason predictions, everyone at 90 minutes. I think 18 people at the time waded in, and 16 of them had us coming third.
Yeah.
And only one had us coming outside the top four altogether. It was a pretty near consensus opinion that Spurs were going to be good, and at the very least they weren't that good come top three, top four.
They weren't good, but they were sort of in and around it for a long time, weren't they? Which is really strange. And then the drop off was just cataclysmic.
I think what it was is, because I know people bring up stuff about, oh, Conte was right, oh, look at the drop off after Conte. It's like, we're trending that direction anyway. And I think it was, for me, it was a matter of the teams below us finally got to play their games in hand, and that's why the drop down the table was so stark. We weren't playing like a team that deserved to be third or fourth.
No.
So.
No. But, you know, there's reason to be optimistic, isn't there, at least, over the summer.
Yeah, man.
Some good moves being made, so fingers crossed.
Yeah, we finally got a new manager.
There is a new manager, yeah.
We haven't talked about this at all, like, even off the pod. What were your thoughts over Big Ange Postecoglou getting the job?
It's nice that it looks like he might be someone who can actually sort of talk to human beings, like in a work setting and not in a work setting, which is sort of what Mourinho and Conte struggled with a little bit. Maybe not in terms of struggling to actually, you know, chat to people, but to actually be like, oh, you're quite good. You could play well instead of just like being like, you guys can't play football. I'm brilliant. I'm just going to leave you in it.
It's like the scene in Matilda where Danny DeVito says to Matilda, his
I'm smart, small child, dumb.
Yeah. I'm big, you're a little. I'm right, you're wrong.
so much smarter than everyone. But, I mean, like, you look at sort of the cult he built around at Celtic, how the fans all really bought into him. And I think it's a much nicer... well, it should result in a much nicer atmosphere anyway, you know?
That's the plan.
That should be the plan. And it's nice that Spurs are sort of reverting back to what they should be instead of trying to, you know, punch above our weight in terms of being a super club by having these egomaniacs involved. You know, I was all in it for that sort of stuff when they were doing quite well, you know, at the back end of like 21-22. Which would have been... Oh, what a great time for us to do a pod when Jude Bellingham...
I've just got that message as well.
is breaking. That's something. He's not going to Tottenham, I can tell you that.
He might be.
Well,
I think there's a chance. Until Real Madrid announced that they've got him, there's every chance.
It's still up in the air. Maybe in a few years when his knee's given out and he fancies coming and having a chat on Oh What a Night with
that's true,
the other
actually,
big
yeah.
Jude. We'll have to get another Jude. Cause
the custody of the name Jude Ladder match. I'd be there for that.
Where else were we? We were on Ange, weren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling quietly optimistic, to be honest, because I still think, I know I always say this, but I still think there are good players in the Spurs squad, and like he's going to play four at the back.
Thank
he's going to want
please.
Midfield players to be comfortable on the ball, and you know when you're as top heavy as Spurs were last season, it should just be about like having a solid team around them. I was thinking about this yesterday, like Spurs are so far away from the standard they should be at the moment, considering they have Kane and Son up front. I know Son wasn't very good last season, but it seems to me like it shouldn't be that hard to build like a structure behind them to be like consistent top four or top five. But hopefully that's what will come in now, and they're just good enough defensively without, you know, the amount of defensive brain farts that just kept on happening last season, especially towards the end, was just disgraceful.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed that gets sorted out.
Yeah, I think part of that problem was because we played so defensive. It was the same with Mourinho. When you put so much pressure on a team with bad defenders, it's going to break and it's going to wilt. So, because the number one argument I hated that came in my Twitter mentions last season was, oh, you have to play defensive because the team's not very good, and if we don't like just have our backs to the walls, then they're going to get exposed. It's like, they're getting exposed now, and it's not as simple a science as that. If you play more attacking, that means you're doing less defending. Obviously, you're going to have your kind of slip-ups and whatever, but you'd be more proactive, and I think that's what's going to happen next season, because as much as it does seem like the club are invested in a rebuild, we've just reported, literally, as we start recording, that Eric Dier and Pierre Hojbjerg might be allowed to leave this summer. It takes a while to kind of implement these kind of cultural changes. We've been a defensive team for, you know, nearly 4 years now. Haven't really played good football for a long stretch in five.
Played good football for about half a season.
Yeah, I mean, half a season last year, where Conte, you could see like the kind of the direct style that we wanted, and it was very fun to watch, but it just reverted to type, and that was really it.
Yeah, there was no evolution.
Yeah,
which is
devolution.
It was devolution, yeah. It was a revolution, not evolution, as they say in the Partridge. Or he gets corrected at some point. But, Dier and Højbjerg are just a couple of cloggers that have probably had their time, and now it's time to move on, really. It doesn't seem like there'd be much point in keeping Højbjerg around if the idea is to try and play football. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, can't really argue with it.
I mean, in fact, he's like, to be fair, like in the good moments, however fleeting they were under Mu and Conte, he was pretty close to what Spurs were doing well at the time.
Our Real Madrid just announced Bellingham, by the way, so that dream's over. We had a good 2 minutes.
Fuck.
Nah, we were so close.
He was so
How
close
could you, Mr. Levy?
Honestly, yeah. Should we march up to Tottenham Michael
Road? Yeah, I'll do it right now.
Should we protest about Spurs' failure to sign Jude Bellingham?
Yeah.
I reckon that'll probably be happening in Liverpool right now, though, to be fair.
Oh, they thought they had him, you know, so. It was very close.
When
I'm
his,
sure it was.
Yeah. When his knee goes in a few years, we'll pick him
up. See, I don't think his knee's going to go. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that you're kind of banking on this a lot for the future of your content.
Yeah.
From one view to another.
I just need the meeting to happen at some point. Yeah. That's all I need. Yeah. Just need to have a Jude meets Jude and however that happens.
Yeah. I think, just back on Ange, just to circle back, I'm optimistic as well that, because this feels more in keeping with what Spurs are about, you know. It's I think someone, I can't remember which podcast I listened to, they're comparing it more to, people saying Poch, that this is more like that. I think it's more like the Martin Jol one, where he was here as a player in England in the 80s. He wasn't like super famous or anything. He then managed in the Dutch lower leagues and lower league sides in the Eredivisie. And then he came here as an assistant manager to Jacques Santini. And when he kind of walked out, and I think that was good for everyone because it did sound like that was awful. I think that was my first full season watching Spurs. And I remember, the football was pretty crap. And then Martin Jol was promoted from assistant to permanent manager, and we just started scoring all these goals. He started playing a lot of attacking players and getting them into good positions, and it became more fun again. I think it's going to be more like that, that this guy who has had to work ever so hard all through his life is now given a chance that he's deserved, that he's earned, because he's been successful pretty much everywhere that he's been, and he's silenced doubters everywhere he's been. And the thing that I like right now, because it's June and there's no football going on, all of, you go through like all of his interviews, all the podcasts he's been on, he talks a really good game. Think that if he could back that up with management, which he's been successful with, if that translates, then we're on to win it. It's just about, does that translate to the Premier League? Does that translate to a club like Tottenham? Does that translate to stars like Harry Kane, who I think will stay?
Yeah, it's looking more likely that
I don't think that's the thing I'm going to buy him.
It doesn't seem like there's an ideal suitor out there for him. But yeah, I mean, like, Spurs have needed a proper motivator for a while now. And I think every fan has sort of gone down the rabbit holes on Twitter looking at those videos, whether it's, you know, that one where he finishes off by, like, you know, enjoy your breakfast or enjoy your lunch or whatever. It's quite jokes. But yeah, it'll be nice to go back to a bit of a we'll try and outscore you type of play, because that's what Spurs' strength has always been, really. It's always been an attack.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense to sit back and play all these cloggers, get some more technical players in there for Ange to have a look at.
We need a few more of those. That brings us to who are the players we could sign, Jude?
Yeah.
Who do you want to start with?
Well, I mean, Raya seems like a decent one to start with, as we have the Brentford boy here.
My favourite.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't really care about the fee that's been reported, because like 40 mil, if they get there or if they end up haggling to something else, it sort of seems like about a par for the course sort of fee for a goalkeeper these days. But he'd take Spurs up to, he'd give them something a bit different, wouldn't they? After so long with Lloris.
Well, yeah, for sure. I think he is almost the inverse of Lloris, in that I've spent a lot of the last 2 years watching Raya in person up close. He has such a great command of his area. He's a great communicator. He comes and claims every cross, and importantly, he is unbelievable in the ball at his feet. I think that he is one of the top two, if not the best goalkeeper in the Premier League.
Where does he compare on the craziness spectrum, like next to Onana? Because it's like in the Champions League final, he was...
he can get pretty crazy, but it's quite low-key because Brentford aren't really kind of manic like that. It can get pretty... He does act like an outfielder a lot of the time. He is standing on the halfway line. He has conversations a lot with the coaches about where he should be standing, what are the passes that he should be looking to make. And he does... It looks like he's good friends with Pedro Porro as well. They're quite close on Spain international team.
Yeah, I mean, Porro's a bit of a weird one because like, Spurs aren't going to play five at the back now. And like, he looks so sick at attack, but also can't really.
I do wonder what Ange's going to do with him.
Yeah, I'm curious if it's going to be more of like a, he's going to stick Emerson at right back and Porro ends up becoming some sort of right wing hybrid.
That's basically what Mason was doing. Emerson does the defensive duties and Porro takes over the attacking stuff. Yeah. He's actually really good going forward.
Yeah,
I knew he was good, but I didn't realise like.
Got a strike on him.
He's
got such a strike on him. But it's also sort of like, it's still one of those where you sort of think, how is that going to fit in there? Is that really going to work? But, I mean,
I do think having a proper goalkeeper in there will be a game changer.
Yeah,
I think Hugo, like, he sort of had these spells where he was in and out of form, and we go like, oh, he's back to his best now.
Yeah,
and then like a mistake would be around the corner and be followed up by like two or three. Like, the runs of poor form are becoming even more pronounced.
Yeah.
Especially if you look like back at the goals that Spurs conceded. There's a lot of stuff that just like ends up ricocheting off Lloris and sort of his upper body area and just ends up trickling in.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not the case and they don't end up giving goals up like that.
I'm still confused by the one he let in against Arsenal in January. From my seat, I couldn't really figure out what would happen. It was like,
it was the Saka one where he sort of like crosses him straight at him and he goes like, pumps back into his own goal when it's not going in.
For you, my friend Bakayo.
This is all you can eat here.
Yeah, so I think the one downside of Raya is he's only 6 foot, which makes him one of the shortest goalkeepers in the land. That's not a problem with the crossing because he's very confident in that ability. He plays as if he's 6 foot 5, 6 foot 6, and I value that in a goalkeeper. The problem would be he's not going to get his hand to every shot. I think he's not an amazing
stopper from distance. Shot stopper,
but at the same time, he's like kind of middle of the road, and he did make the most saves in the Prem last season. And it's not as if Brentford were parking the bus every game, so I think that's quite important as well. He's not just like a hologram. He's not like Kepa, for example.
Yeah, I guess it's a matter of priorities as well. If you're looking to actually play attacking football.
If we're going to play on the ball, we can't do that with Lloris because it's completely different.
Because his arm might snap.
was it you I was talking to? No, I think it was a Spurs group chairman where they posted the clip. You know when he basically kicks it into Danny Ings against Southampton in the start of the 2020 season, and then a few days later concedes 7 to Bayern Munich. And then 3 days later, snapped his arm in half against Brighton. Yeah. Really great week for him. It's amazing. He actually got better after that.
Yeah,
I guess because the bottom of the barrel couldn't get any lower than
get any more bottom of the barrel.
Yes, it could not get more bottom of the barrel.
Of the barrel. I think Ray would be good if they can stick to it. If they can get a fee agreed at some point.
Nearly fell for the chair.
No, it just buckled a little bit under my tremendous weight. That's it. But yeah, hopefully it's not one that just rumbles on and rumbles on. Because goalies can be a bit trickier if you're sort of left late on in the window.
Yeah, we're not the only ones who are interested in Raya. We are the only ones in these kind of talks, but there are other clubs that are admiring. And I do want to quickly talk about the commotion in my mentions. Because as maybe the only man on earth who covers both Tottenham and Brentford, I tweeted out yesterday the news which everyone knows, which is Spurs are close to personal terms with Raya, but they don't really want to meet the 40 mil fee, especially not particularly not if it's up front. I think I'm hopeful there'll be some agreement if it's 30 plus 10 or whatever.
Yeah,
that something might be done. But then it was kind of this infighting between my Spurs followers and my Brentford followers over. I put a comment which was, Spurs can't really go to Brentford and say it should be low, the fee should be low because he wanted you left on his deal, when they're doing the same with Kane.
Yeah. I feel like.
And then there's this commotion I mentioned between the Spurs followers who are very much like Kane is a very special case and you can't really bring him into this. And the Brentford followers who are like, Raya is basically our Kane, particularly if Ivan Toney is out until January. Mm-hmm. He is our best player. We need to kind of stand firm with this.
Yeah.
And I have the experience of covering both clubs, and I know Brentford aren't going to buckle.
Yeah. I mean, like, they've also signed their replacement, though.
They have.
Really, haven't they?
But long reported that they're fine to not sell him. They're fine to lose him on a free. If they have to keep playing Raya and the new guy complete on the bench for a year, they're happy to do it. They're prepared to do it, and I'm not doubting that. They're very, Spurs fans have the experience of Levy. Brentford are the same. You know, they got, when they lost the playoff run to Fulham, they lost Ollie Watkins, but it was only to Aston Villa on a record 30 mil fee. It was the same with Saeed Benrahma. They pushed that right to the very end of that transfer window. He started the season at Brentford, but then before it shut, went to West Ham. It was an initial loan obligation. That's what I mean. They don't need to sell as much as they did when they were in the Championship anymore, because they have the Premier League money. They're a Premier League club in London. That's going to bring huge money in itself. And they just, I think it's important for them to kind of take a stand as well. It's almost like the same with your boys at Brighton. We yeah. will sell, and we're happy to work with the players on that, but it has to be on our terms, ultimately.
Yeah,
we're not going to bend over for these clubs.
Yeah, exactly. I think, I mean, like, the top clubs have sort of played a part in creating that atmosphere and like all that, that culture of just being like, fuck off, I'm not going to sell unless you give us what's right. So only themselves to blame in that regard. But yeah, I also just like these things getting done. So hopefully, they, I mean, there will be endless amount of fucking speculation
yeah.
before that actually gets done. But I think it's a good move.
Yeah,
and we're literally just waiting on like some sort of tweet from Spurs to be like, thank you, Hugo, because it seems like
the noises around sounds like we're going to be quite ruthless with contracts and cutting players off this summer.
Which is good.
Which is, you know, long overdue. And I think that's the way to properly back Postecoglou, because I think he's probably had a look at the squad and thought, Jesus, we got some work to do here.
Yeah, there is.
Particularly
work.
With the fullback situation.
Yeah,
but particularly with a lot of the cloggers, as you said.
Yeah, it's just the cloggers, isn't it? Really, they got pace out wide. I think there's still plenty there for a good starting 11. Ooh, good starting attacking 11, anyway. But yeah, hope, fingers crossed on Rare.
Yeah.
Who else is there? There's
Jimmy Madders.
There's Jimmy Madison as well, which I've always sort of been quite keen on Jimmy. He's a bit of an injury prone lad.
This is my concern that he's always out for like too much of the season, and I think Leicester are always like, oh, when Madison's back, things will change. And
yeah.
I hate being in those kind of cycles where you're like, when so and so is back, then things will be different, because it feels like you're always waiting. Like, so yeah. He's out for 2 weeks, and all of a sudden it's 2 months later, and you're like, huh?
Yeah.
And that happens with Spurs quite a lot, it feels like.
But that with Mela before turned out to be a year.
I think with Kulusevski this year.
Kulu as well. No,
comes back in Sash
next week. Next
oh, yeah, he's only a small one. Oh, he'll be back in before the World Cup break.
That's
oh, yeah,
Sessegnon as well, wasn't it?
I keep forgetting he exists. That's really sad, because he did actually have a good end to the 21-22 season. But he just.
It's fine.
Bit, yeah, naff.
But Jimmy Madison could be a top side. I mean, I'd imagine he just. Slip straight into a number 10 if Ange wants to go 4-2-3-1, and then it's just who else they build around out wide and behind him with. I always like Jimmy Madison there. I think he's great to have a proper set piece threat as well.
Yeah,
because Spurs haven't. I know Kane scored that. He finally scored his free kick against Brentford.
Just someone who gets his head up, you know. Like,
yeah,
we haven't replaced Eriksen since he left. We never even bought competition for Eriksen when he was here.
Yeah.
He's kind of just that allowed him to kind of coast through seasons, because he knew his place was never in jeopardy.
Yeah, and Spurs don't have a central player who plays that killer pass at all. Really,
no,
whatsoever.
The closest probably Bentancur, and he's got an ACL. But bringing in Madison would allow him to do the other midfield things that he's good at, and I would rather him do those things and not have to be the primary source of our chances being created.
And that's a much bigger threat just across the front line as well, because I know Kulu and Richie are fab players on their day, but last season they just weren't very good in front of goal whatsoever.
But I think that would change with an attacking manager as well.
Yeah, it should do.
And without, I said this, I must have said this 3 or 4 times on the pod. When you play three at the back and you play the 3-4-3 the way that we do, it just restricts the way that you can create chances so much. You're so relying on the wing backs having a perfect game and then working with midfielders going forward and the wide forwards coming in, and it makes it very easy to defend against, I think.
Yeah, you can sort of see that by the amount of times that Spurs just went from side to side looking for an opening.
Very rigid
in every game that they played.
Yeah.
And somehow they've ended up, you know, finding an opening here or there, but nothing too mahoosive. But yeah, Madison still ended up with sort of 10 goals, 10 assists from the season, which was a good little return. You know, if Spurs can find another player like that, just to add on top of returns from Kane and Son, then they should be looking reasonably high up the table.
Yeah, here's hoping.
Anyway, but I don't really know, like, did Postecoglou play with like a 10 just off Celtic striker before? I'm not really sure who they would have played there.
I haven't done the research that much. I'm not a very good journalist, you see. Yeah. I'm a busy man.
I have a
life. No, seriously.
You've not done your Celtic deep dive yet? I can't say I have either, to be fair.
I do know they impressed me that one time in the Champions League against Real Madrid at the start of the season. And I found my old tweet where I praised them, saying they've been unbelievable. And it got me excited again, because I did remember how good they were.
Nice.
They lost 3-0 in the end, but it's like, okay, they're Celtic and they're playing Real Madrid. What do you think is going to happen?
It'll probably be a humping, yeah. Who else have they been linked with then?
Centre-backs.
Oh, yeah, centre-backs.
Three centre-backs who... One's very good, two maybe not so much. Aymeric Laporte, who I think would have been way more realistic if we'd got Europa League. And I think it would have been easier to sell it to him then. I personally don't think that's an attainable target now, just because I think some other club with bigger aspirations might be able to get him.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't rule it out, but I would say that's more unlikely. Then you got Harry Maguire, who I think I've talked about Harry Maguire enough in my lifetime. I've seen enough about Harry Maguire enough in my lifetime. I like him. I think he's been hard done by Man United, but I also think he's just it would take a lot kind of the mental recovery it would require.
Yeah,
I think that's the big thing. I don't think
because
he had had good spells for his career. You know, I thought he was amazing with England at the Euros, and he scored the best pen in that shootout. Yeah. And if we win that shootout, then he's like on the top of the list of the ones getting knighthoods. It's him, Kane, and a couple others. And I think that player is there, but it'd be very hard to get out of him now.
Yeah.
And he needs. And this is not a stable environment right now. He needs to go somewhere that's more stable. I said on the Talking Transfers podcast yesterday, I think Villa would be a better fit for him because he can go in. The expectation is a little less. I think they actually would like a signing like that. I think Emery would get the most out of him. They'd play a more kind of conservative style, but he could be the one to bring out the ball from the back.
I mean, if you go to Villa, it's just him and Mings, who are exactly the same person. Headbutting, crosses away.
Yeah, just standing there.
That's
Emery's, yeah, that's
Emery's dream, really.
Diagonal ping, perfect.
Yeah, I'm just going to knock that out. Yeah. I mean, we would not want to bring in Harry. I know he likes bringing the ball out from defence and all that, but I don't think he's a particularly good passer. And, like, the way you'd have to build him back up after such a rough few years.
We've got enough projects to work on. I don't think we need another restoration project on our hands. So.
It doesn't scream good idea to me.
And then the other one was Max Kilmer of Wolves, who is a techie defender, but I don't think does it really move the needle that much for us.
No, I don't think so. As a player, I'm not really sure how high their ceiling is whatsoever, really. Like, never seems to be. I don't think I've even have like a world class game at the Spurs.
He's had like okay games, like good games, but I'm not sitting there back and thinking, wow, I really want Max Kilman.
Next big thing, not for me.
Here he comes. Oh, there he goes.
After two seasons, yeah. I mean, they definitely need a new centre back, so hopefully somebody else a bit more enticing emerges
pops
over
up
the next few weeks. Because if Dyer goes and maybe Sanchez goes. I mean, like, that's not good depth anyway.
Well, yeah, I feel like we are going to buy Longley. That's my hunch. And I think I'm on board with it in terms of just having that continuity and giving us the flexibility to sell Dyer, Sanchez, without kind of gutting and needing all these new centre-backs to gel. The problem will be in, like, one or two years when we try to sell him as well, and there'll probably be no suitors for him either.
Hopefully we don't give Barca too much money for that, because I don't want to dig them out of their hole for no reason, just for Clement Longley. I mean, he's all right to keep around, isn't he? He's not someone you'd really want in your starting 11 at any time, really.
He's okay. I don't hate him.
I can't. I hate this. It's that goal that Miggy Almiron scored, like just before Christmas, I think, last season, where like he just skins Longley and just the most ridiculous.
Okay, it wasn't his finest hour.
No, but that unfortunately, I just do hold grudges with footballers.
Yeah, it does sound like that.
And like when somebody defends with their arms like that, it just sort of makes me think like you're not very good. Because that's what I do, and I play amateur quite tired, so I don't really want to be seeing too many similarities between the pro footballers there. But yeah, another centre back would be good.
I'm trying to think. I really think that those are kind of the key areas that we just need to fully invest in. I'm fine with a lot of the options in other places. Like, I think right back we're fine. We've got an attacking option, we've got a conservative option. Maybe we need another left back. Or maybe we need to reintroduce some of these loan players if we can't actually find homes for them.
Yeah, I mean, like, someone like Reguilon.
I'm fine with him coming back.
I'm fine with
him
being
an
option. That doesn't really. Yeah. It seems almost I don't want to write someone off too early as well, because he barely really got a chance.
I liked him when he first came. I think he wasn't kind of the worst defender in the drop of under Mourinho. And I remember I wrote an article after Conte's first month and I said he was the most improved player. And the problem in the end was he couldn't add goals and assists enough, but he would be good in the back four.
Yeah, I think so. And he does have decent delivery from out wide, which is, you know, what Spurs struggled with all season on the left. Like Perisic had a bit of a...
Still got like 10 assists in the
end. Still managed to, yeah.
I think we just kept feeding him the ball.
Yeah, and just spam.
Let's give this 45-year-old man the ball. Maybe he'll get some...
Yeah, it is good moments. But yeah, I mean, like Adoji and Davis maybe on the left. Like that's it's untested, but at least there's a couple of options there.
I think there needs to be a lot of time spent teaching Porro and Adoji to play fullback rather than wing back. I'm just sick of the three at the back.
Yeah.
Well, so if they can actually play in the back four, that'd be really handy. But it takes a lot of coaching and it might take a season for them to really get to grips with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. There might be a lot of space left and behind.
Yeah.
Hopefully the attacking rewards just outweigh that defensive shit.
There's a lot of noise as well that Ndombele would be given a chance to prove himself. Which I find hilarious.
It is funny, yeah. I kind of feel like, you know,
there is scope for, I don't think he's going to be like the player we thought he was going to be, but there's definitely a useful option in there. Like, so say if our, when everyone's fit, our starting midfield would be Bissouma, Bentancur, Maddison. Ndombele was really good in a period under Mourinho when he came off the bench trying to make an impact, because I think the energy level was matched up with everyone else's, so it's more of a level playing field. But his final ball was really great. He's both footed. He just kind of has that fleet foot in his back. I remember the game that stands out in my mind is when he came off the bench against Man City in the 2-0 win, when it was the Mourinho running off the bench game.
Yeah.
And I think he got one assist, and I think I remember in the last minute there was a big thing. He kind of dribbled his way past two or three Man City players, and it's just like, I think that is who he is, more of an impact player rather than someone who is built to last 60-plus minutes.
Yeah, exactly. But which is pretty rough.
did you see Harry Kane comment on his Instagram picture?
No.
Let me get it up. I don't want to be misquoted, but it was something like really tickled me, like, because I was just like, I can't imagine these guys ever having a conversation.
No, me neither.
So
Dombley seems quite standoffish.
Yeah. Where is Kane? He commented, this is the thing, he commented Big Boss. With the eyes.
What does that mean? Is Tango getting his move to Real Madrid is that what's on the horizon?
Yeah, it's like, oh my god.
I don't hate the idea of him coming back and being involved. It's just like, I don't know, if we're gonna do the same old dance, you know, of player not being properly fit and being unhappy.
Yeah.
Like, how many more times can you go down?
Yeah, I think it's like an expectation thing. It works for both him as a player and us as the fans. Like, accept that he's not going to be that guy.
Yeah, I mean, he went to Napoli and didn't really move the needle whatsoever. Like, got that.
It was perfect kind of microcosm of him when, in the second leg against Milan, he had a really good opening 40 minutes. I thought he was really good. And then gets absolutely skinned for Milan's goal. Yeah. And just slowly running back, it's like, okay, there he is.
Yeah.
So really the two sides of it. So you can't put all your trust in him. But if we're just trying to up the technical levels of the team and get Ange some players who are comfortable with the ball at their feet, then
yeah, he's definitely one.
It's worth a shot.
Worth a shot.
And who's taking him? Who's buying him? He's got quite a lot of bit left in his contract as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was only like 2019, wasn't it? So that's only 4 years ago.
It's like a six-year deal, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he was that's going to go down as a bit of a transfer mishap, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well. And then, obviously, everyone's favourite, Giovanni Lo Celso.
Has
he been sold permanently? I can't remember with that line.
No, he's coming back, I think. I don't think he wants... It doesn't sound like he wants to come back, but...
I'd be very surprised.
I'm even more interested in him, because he feels like... By all accounts, it sounds like he was going to go to the World Cup with Argentina and play McAllister's role, but he got injured.
Mm.
And he actually plays well for Argentina, so it'd be interesting to see what his stock would have been if he did go and he did win the World Cup.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I mean. Like, there was a reason we paid 50 mil, whatever it is, for him. I was never that big a fan of him before. I was never a big fan of Arsenal. I can't remember the clamour to say that he was Spurs' best player in 1920, and I was like, he ran around a bit.
Yeah,
he got one assist in like 30 games, and it was like, okay.
Yeah, that was still
the bar was clearly very low.
Yeah, it was a bad
team. But I think there's a player there. He does scream Emery reunion at Villa. I'm surprised there hasn't been more movement on that front.
I can see that.
Brian Hill? Europa League winner, Brian Hill? Coming back to training with his medal on?
Man, you can just flash that about the place. That's quite joked, isn't it, really? I'm still not really sure on Brian Hill. It doesn't seem like he'll ever really get a proper chance ahead of the attackers that we've got now. He had that sort of little breakout moment against Palace, I think. Just because there was nobody else available to play. It just seems like he might be someone who's destined to go out on loan forever before leaving with a bit of a whimper.
Nice player, but just very weak. It looks like he's no bigger than he was when he arrived, and that's quite concerning.
Yeah, if he hasn't developed at all, then that's a
little... You have to be super special to kind of get away with it. I think Conte did compare him in terms of stylistic to Bernardo Silva. I think what Bernardo Silva's got going for him is, first of all, he's 100 times better. Second of all, he has this engine. Like, when you look at players that have played for like those Pep teams, for example, maybe they're not the most opposing players. Obviously, you've got like Xavi and Iniesta, you've got these kind of scrawny guys. But what they've got going for them is they're in that top echelon of technique. Yeah. And also, they can run for days. I don't think he's got either of those things.
No, I don't think he does either. But I don't have much to say on Brian.
Not got an essay, nothing?
I didn't do my dissertation on Brian Hill, so.
You missed out, buddy.
I'm sure I did, yeah. Oh, but what else?
What's going on in Spurs world? Thankfully, nothing. I'm done with that. A new kit. You like the new kit?
New kit is
Do you like the all white?
I mean, it's not a very, it's not going to be a European season, so I'm not really on the all whiteness of it. To be honest,
it's because we're not playing.
It's a nice kit.
We've ordered all these white shorts now. What are we going to do with them?
It does scream that a little bit. I won't be rushing to buy it or anything like that. I always find like the promotional tweets being like, get your hands on the new kit now, quite hilarious considering like there's a little bit that needs to happen to win fans back on side before they all flock to buy new threads.
Have you seen the leaked away kit?
No.
Oh, it looks gash. I don't like it at all. We need to play in the home kit as much as possible. And the third kit sounds... I think it's going to be like a grey colour. So I'm not thrilled about that either. There it is.
Yeah.
Don't like that.
Colour.
Yeah, don't like that.
Get out of my face.
They should let me design the kits.
Yeah, I'd do a good job. You come up with something a lot more intergalactic than that. Why don't they just use that one that we had a few years ago, which was just complete spaceman. Spaceman.
Ah, beautiful. Bring it back. I love that.
Bring it back.
There'll be another like it. This stuff. We kind of replace him.
Yeah. I mean, I like the white AIA there. I'm never, not really a fan of the red whatsoever. But
you sound like my dad right now.
Well, I'm sure he's a tall lad.
Smart man.
Sounds like a very smart guy. Or just deluded.
Who knows?
I don't know. With a bit of help on that one,
I'd say.
Yeah. We'll see how the summer plays out from here. Then I suppose, like, hopefully they get Raya over the line. See how far up they want to go for Madison in terms of fee, and any other little CBs who come in.
You know, we got Mourinho in pre-season again.
Have we really?
Yeah, we've got Roma. We've got West Ham in Australia, which was decided long before we became the Australian club. So that's gonna be really cool.
That will be cool, yeah.
We've got EFL Championship side Leicester City in Thailand. Yes. Hopefully they'll give over manners. Play one half for each team.
Playing this half and half shirt.
And then we've got Roma in Singapore.
Where Højbjerg might be playing, I suppose, if Mourinho fancies taking him and having Mourinho a pivot of him and Matic.
Mourinho, who spent more money than any other manager in Serie A since he's been back and hasn't finished in the top four. One top four finish since 2015.
I did find it hilarious when he complained about the Juve
points deduction, being like, oh, well, we wouldn't have played this team in this game if I'd known.
It's like mate, what?
How about you don't go on a run of like one win in six games to end the season?
Have you tried winning your games?
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, I'm sure that whoever was in charge of those deductions just would have been like, wait a minute, like, you guys have been shit. Like,
I was so happy that Sevilla won the Europa League, not just because of Lamela and stuff and Mourinho, but just so we don't get a whole summer discourse of Mourinho's back, he's a winner.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that the winner lost. So.
And he did it in quite a disgraceful... He lost in quite a disgraceful fashion.
Yeah, he made it even worse.
Which is always really, really hilarious. I mean, the one thing that's obviously not very hilarious is that he criticised the ref quite a fair bit and pretty much made it open season for him at the airport when he was trying to escort his fan through.
I found it ironic because... I'm not generally an Anthony Taylor fan, rivalries aside. I think he's had some stinkers in the Premier League, but I actually thought he refed a good game in the final.
I thought
all the European finals were quite well officiated.
I didn't see too much wrong with the Europa League one. I mean, how are you supposed to have a proper good game when from the first minute,
that's what I mean.
The bench being like,
both benches,
you're a twat.
They both were trying to give it, and then I think the decision. So from his view, he was right to give the Sevilla pen, and then overturn it because of VAR, which is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I don't think the handball for Roma, I don't think it was a handball. So, what can you do with the arms by his side?
Look inward.
Yeah, exactly.
Look inward is a much better
idea. And that felt like a long 120 minutes. I think it went to like 130 something because of the injuries.
I think I could only do sort of the last little bit for penalties towards the end. It was a bit...
Thank God Lamela scored his pen.
Yeah.
I wrote a tweet at the time, I was like, that could have easily been the worst moment of my life.
Like, in a weird way, I was sort of very much more confident that he'd score for Sevilla than he ever would at Spurs, you know, because it felt like...
It felt like it was going to happen.
Yeah, I think he might have taken a pen in like a League Cup tie early on against like Hull and missed.
He missed, I was there for that. He missed that one. And then he missed against Norwich in the Cup as well, I think.
The
Stands game.
Yeah.
So yeah, he didn't have a good record. I saw him stepping up and I was like, oh my God.
But he seems like someone who should just be able to roll it in the corner, no questions asked, really.
I don't like trust left-footed takers. Really don't. They're the worst.
Just don't trust lefties.
Nope.
That explains our relationship.
Burn the witch.
Burn the witch. You got anything else you want to add?
You're a good guy, Jude.
Do try.
Anything you want to add?
Really do try. Not too much.
No. All right, thanks, mate.
Not too much.
Just the thanks I get coming in and sitting in the room.
Yeah, I mean that was a great shout early on to pick the room.
Good smarts. Stuff.
Yeah.
Stonks.
Street smarts and stonks.
Okay, I'm done talking about Spurs. Okay, thank you for listening, everyone. We'll be back with another episode in the next coming weeks. If you haven't subscribed, please do it. It helps us a lot. And we'll see you next time. You play Thursday because you're... What a feeling, what a night.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.